everyone, this is neither Jim nor Patrick. This is Nate Scott. I am the guest host of Rockin' the Suburbs. This week, Jim and Patrick are on vacation, hopefully on a beach somewhere. I don't know if they're together, but that would be really cute if they were. This is day three of my guest host duties. I'm doing my best. I hope it's okay. My guest today is co-founder. And what's your current title there?
Co-founder
of All Things Go, a music blog that has been running in DC for years now.
Since 2006.
2000. Did we have a 10-year anniversary party? Did we miss that?
No.
We didn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not particularly organized.
We should do it this year.
Yeah.
10 plus 1.
Close enough.
I used to write for All Things Go back in its heyday, because I was writing there. I consider it the heyday.
Sure.
But Zach is also putting on the All Things Go Fall Classic, now in year 4.
Correct.
A music festival that's taking place in DC and Union Market the weekend of Friday, October 6th, 7th, and 8th. And we're going to talk about putting on a festival. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. We're sitting here in my living room. We're drinking Miller Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Only the finest craft beer for me and Zach.
I had Negronis earlier.
Okay. It's just, yeah. All right. So we actually just recorded with Alex Anderson, which you guys heard yesterday. Alex might be, he just popped out.
Oh, you ruined the myth. Everyone thinks you're recording.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyway. Alex might pop back in. Maybe we'll see what he has to say about things. Zach, man, how you doing?
Doing well. We've been on sale for like, I don't know, 6 weeks now, which is exciting. I mean, in the first 3 years, we did this really stupid thing of going on sale less than 2 months before the festival date, mm-hmm. which I got to tell you, I cannot advise. It's awful.
Yeah.
So this year, we actually gave ourselves quite a bit of lead time. Which is, you know, reducing the stress. And the stress obviously exists, but we're super, super excited about this year.
This year, it is a three-day festival.
Three days.
Which, last year, you guys experimented with going with a much bigger venue. Yards Park, was it?
Yards Park, yeah.
I had a great time. It poured. Mm-hmm. Which was, if you're putting on a music festival, that would be my first bit of advice. Not have it be pouring rain during the day of.
Yeah. Talk to the rain gods, tell them not to show up, and also maybe don't do it a block away from, you know, a Nationals playoff game, and also maybe not during hurricane season. But aside from all of that, it was a rousing success.
So this year you're back at Union Market. For those of you not in DC, Union Market is a, space that has a, I don't really know how to describe it. It's sort of like,
it's like a
food market, shared retail space. But they've got a beautiful back area that's got a stage set up and an indoor area that, you guys have held it there your first 2 years.
Correct.
So we're going back this year, but 3 days.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
We jumped to 3 days this year, which was, you know, a big step up from the past few years. We've done the single day, which kind of felt like a, you know, a massive party. Which, you know, we like, because we want our festival to feel unique and not cookie cutter like, you know, a number of larger festivals do feel, while also just giving, going to 3 days allows us to have, a wider range of artist styles and genres, allows us to book obviously three times the amount of bands, and allows people to sort of pace themselves. It's not, you know, I get in at noon and we're done at 10 and we have to move on. It's three full days, so it's a marathon.
I'm curious, just because I've sort of been watching this secondhand. I'm friends with the guys. I used to write for All Things Go. I'm friends with the guys who do it. I've never been too involved in the festival planning process. The one time you guys were having a meeting, you actually threw me out of.
Steven did, but it's understandable.
They were discussing finances, and they just noticed some dude was sitting in the corner, and they said, "Get out." And I was like, "Haha, guys." And they were like, "No, actually, get out."
Yeah. We were just talking about the millions we've already made, and we didn't want you to rob us.
Exactly. I was a little bit involved with the first year, kind of suggesting bands, which was by far your worst selling year. So I was quickly cut out of the equation. But I think for me and for other people, just, you know, watching the secondhand and people who don't, you know, book festivals, I'm curious, like, what the process is like. Does it just start with just throwing out bands you like? Is there, like, how, you know, when are you looking at finances, what the bands know, like, want, like, how does that process go?
It's you know, it's different every year, and it's probably the longest process that goes into the festival in terms of, you know, sheer amount of time between starting to talk about it and mm-hmm. finishing the lineup. But it's kind of a back and forth. I mean, we kind of make a big board of who we'd like to see on every day. Obviously, this being the first time we're doing 3 days, whatever. In the past, it was who we'd yep. like to see at the top of the bill. And we kind of start from the top down. And, you know, kind of we try to find the tentpole artist. You know, our big thing that I think separates us from other festivals, and it's what our music website's been about, is music discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Which even with, you know, the popularity of Spotify and Hype Machine and Pandora, there's still some value in, you know, a curated playlist from not an algorithm, but from actual people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our site has sort of translated to the festival in that our strength, I mean, I don't want to take away from our headliners, but our strength is finding those emerging bands towards the bottom of the bill that you may not have heard of, that you're then, you know, a huge fan of. So I think what we do when we design the lineup is we have that big board of the top name artists. We have who we'd like to be direct support. We obviously think about sonically, is it going to fit? You know, you can't mm-hmm. have like, I don't know. You can't have Michael Bublé going into Red Hot Chili Peppers, even though we tried this year.
I want that.
I know, yeah, that actually would be, maybe the reverse. You just get yeah. really amped up and then you get Bublé.
It's a good verb.
No, but I think we have a general idea, and then we have a number of smaller acts that we sort of know that we want to fit somewhere on the bill because they matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to put them on at the earliest time, just because no matter, we could open the doors at 6 a.m. and people still wouldn't show up.
Yeah, of course.
It's a show. So we try to really get them airtime, and we try to give them an opportunity to market themselves leading up to the festival through our channels, get people a little more familiar with them. And then when they come back after the festival, we try to like encourage, you know, people to go to those shows and see them again. And normally we don't really have to because everyone enjoyed them when they saw them.
I will say you guys have proven extremely adept at identifying acts before they get super. I mean, I had never heard of Kygo before in my life. You guys put them at the top of the bill. I remember saying to you, you're an idiot. I've never heard of this band. They suck. And then it wasn't really a band, and then I was at the Olympics where I was covering them for USA Today, and Kygo literally played the opening ceremonies yeah. like 6 months after playing the All Things Go Fall Classic. It was like, oh, okay, these guys were onto something yeah. that I clearly did not see yeah, because I'm an old idiot.
We really pulled that one off.
Yeah.
That was a heist. No, I think, to your point, we there's a lot of forecasting that goes into picking these artists.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of thought process into like how motivated are they to share this, to market this, how for instance, we, this year, we have, I think 6 or 7 of the 20 artists are on an album cycle right now.
Mm-hmm.
So their albums either come out in the last 2 months or will come out before the festival. They're touring, their management's behind them, their agents are behind them, their label's behind them. So, you know, they're active on their channels, which makes a huge difference in terms of just awareness for the show.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you're booking a band who may tell you that their album's coming out in 2 months and you don't know if it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, tough. So you try to get as much information as you can get, and then you just sort of have to make a guess. And I don't want to say that we book artists that we don't know are going to be good. Because we always have a feeling that these artists are going to be good. It's whether or not they're going to be super popular.
Yeah.
And I'd rather lose with an artist that I know is good but didn't get popular than pick an artist who's awful and might have had a little bit more buzz.
I mean, let's go through some of the acts. Galantis, The Knox, Bearson. That's how cool I am. I can't pronounce half of these. Saturday is a more hip-hop influence day. Young Thug, Vince Staples, Cashmere Cat, And then Sunday, Foster the People, Bleachers, Betty Who, Foreign Air, Now, Great, Good, Fine, Okay. What is, because we're going to go to a song right now, what is a band a little lower down the lineup that you are super excited about that you think people are going to get really excited about over the course of the weekend?
That's a good question. So I love Cashmere Cat, but he's not really that far down.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go maybe Now, their new song, SGL,
is
fantastic.
So good. Yeah. We're going to listen to it right now. So glad you picked it. Now is a band from, what are they, Minneapolis?
Yeah.
And their former guitarist, his name's Jess Abbott, who's from Maine, the great state of Maine, represent.
No one's ever said represent about Maine.
That's where I'm from. But she used to play in them, and now she's gone solo with a band called Tancred. That's really awesome. I'd say you should put them in the festival, but I'm not suggesting bands for your festival anymore every time I do that, it's a catastrophe.
It's just, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but it would just be Diarrhea Planet for 10 straight hours. That's a band.
That's fantastic. Of course. Yeah. I've been a guest on this show before and talked about Diarrhea Planet.
You would have a diarrhea problem.
Oh.
Too easy.
Nice. Alex Anderson, who's still here.
Very happy apparently for my first and last appearance on this podcast.
Like that joke. I did want to talk to you about the blog just because, I don't know, for a while there, that was sort of, I mean, even now, it's not only a great place to discover music. I know the way music discovery has changed, and we've talked about it a bit on the podcast this week, just sort of for our generation. We were the first ones that sort of, you know, had this world of Napster, LimeWire, all this stuff where we were kind of able to, it wasn't just what the radio played for us, it was all of a sudden we had the world and we could sort of discover whatever we wanted. And then how that led into, you know, kind of the internet, sort of that initial explosion, and then us sort of using the internet to kind of create this new music scene, which all things go was sort of right there at the beginning of, which then grew into this place where I think you guys, perhaps better than anyone else, really capitalized on the economic collapse of 2009-2010 and poaching a lot of really great writers, and you didn't pay us anything. And
that's it was a great business model.
There was a time where I was writing for All Things Go. Gia Tolentino, who's now at The New Yorker, Bryce Rudow, who's the editor-in-chief of Random Nerds, Alex, I think, might have written a thing or two.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Wormel.
He was an intern as well.
Alex was an intern. Unbelievable. and you were just not paying us anything, and we were all writing about music on your website.
To be fair, we weren't making anything.
Yeah,
so
you weren't making any money.
It was a labor of love.
I'm interested in like how you see music discovery going now, and is there a place for these websites? Or, I mean, you guys are really mostly focused on the festival now, but... on the date, like, I'm just curious where you see that sort of the internet music world going.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we first started, it was like, I could post an entire album of MP3s and like maybe the RAA would send me a notification like every 6 months and then I would just delete it and I wouldn't do anything. Please don't sue me now. but that was the thing. I mean, I think when we had to switch, I think it was like maybe 2010, 2011, we started switching to have to post like SoundCloud.
Mm-hmm.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
I have, you know, at that point I had prided myself on, you know, like a 20,000 song catalog of MP3s on my computer. All, you know, not all, but mostly all downloaded illegally.
Yeah.
And I hated this concept of having to use two different sources or even three. And then also like not being able to listen to them on an airplane or not being able to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Internet's awesome now. Like you don't have to worry about that. You can stream everything everywhere. You can also download it from anywhere. So that's that concern has sort of faded away, but I think we've had to sort of pivot each time and kind of stay relevant. And I think what was consistent throughout it was that the writing was good, and we had a, you know, all of our writers had a different voice. I mean, you and Gia aren't the same at all.
Yeah.
Both great writers, but, you know, different. I think one of the strengths that we had is a lot of these music websites did reviews and critiques, and you know they would say that, you know, this song was a 4 out of 5 and this song was a 2 out of 5. We didn't review anything. I mean, we reviewed albums that we liked, but all we did is write about the songs that we liked. So there was never a reason to go to our site to read like biting criticism the way people go to, say, a Pitchfork or Consequence of Sound, mm-hmm. or another site like that, because we just didn't have the bandwidth to put together. You know, you'd have to review everything if you're going to start reviewing things.
And
we didn't want to do that anyways. We kind of designed ourselves to be a Spotify with words when we first started. And not just useless words. Not like a, you know, not that Rap Genius is useless, but not that. The idea was that we wanted to build playlists for people. I mean, that was always our most successful thing on the site, was our playlist. And people, I think every time something changes, every time the music industry moves more and more towards these curated playlists and away from, or, you know, more towards streaming and away from record sales, there's always like an opposite reaction. So like when we moved from CDs to all MP3s and then MP3s to streaming, vinyl became popular again.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that, like, I want something different than what I'm being forced to do. And I think as Spotify is, you know, basically taking over the world, and I love Spotify. I mean, I use it every day. There are still people that want to then read about it, know a little bit more about something. And I think that's sort of what we've done. And, you know, it's benefited us. And I think it's how we've, you know, continued to have a music blog when so many of the other contemporaries that I even looked up to when I was first starting it that are gone now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to tie it into the thread that we've sort of been talking about all week, you know, there was this explosion in 2004 through 2006 where all of a sudden the entire universe of music was opened up to us and we could get anything we wanted in what at first was 20 minutes and then was 4 seconds. You know, that sort of, all of a sudden we could find any song we wanted any time in the history of music. And then it got overwhelming because there was so much new music being released. And also, you know, downloading music was easier. Recording music became easier. And so all of a sudden, especially in 08, 09, where everyone graduated and there was no jobs anywhere for anyone, a lot of kids either started writing about music or recording music. And I remember there used to be this joke that it was this sort of, we kind of created an economy for ourselves with like people writing about music, people recording music, and the people writing about music would go see the people recording music, and then they go to the website to read about themselves. And it was like this, we had just sort of created this self-sustaining, it wasn't really self-sustaining.
No, no one was making money, but no, it was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. And we sort of kept things going for a year or two. But these sites sort of had to come up to sort of help you wade through the noise. And that was sort of the excitement in the early days of All Things Go. And I think continuing on now is just like, there's too much. And, you know, for me, I'm sort of, you know, now that I'm not writing about music full time, I struggle, you know, because it's a full time job to really stay on top of all these releases, all these bands. And I can't do it anymore. You know, I find myself, I just listen to Diary of Planet, like you were talking.
No, I mean, I think for me, I think part of it is what you're talking about, you know, the medium changing. I think it's also, you know, getting older. Like I mean, not that I'm old, I'm 29, but when I started the blog, I would like get on my computer at 6:30 and then go to bed at like 2 a.m. and have downloaded 40 songs from like 35 different websites.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with that. And that continued to like maybe my junior year of college even, that it was just constantly doing that. And then you wind down. And you're like, okay, this site isn't as great for me anymore. It's been more hit or miss. But this site, I'll read every time because I know they're perfect. And at this point now, I mean, as much as I want people to go to All Things Go, and people are still going to All Things Go, which is great. I also use Release Radar and Discover Weekly and, you know, the Spotify playlist. I mean, they're great. And they certainly help me find new music. We haven't really used it for the festival. We try to scout those bands ourselves, and obviously some of them are beyond being music discovery.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's an exhausting process to try to go through all of that. And what's been so awesome is that we have a stable of 20, 30 writers who are all, I mean, not all, half of them are probably in college right now and are doing the same thing that we did 10 years ago and are obsessed with digging into that. And it's like, cool, I don't have to dig into this. And now I get the music on my own site. That's awesome.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it was, I feel like it was always that way for everyone. It's just that it's so much easier for us to do it than it was 10 years ago.
Absolutely. And yeah. And I think that's sort of the answer. You know, I get people asking me on Twitter sometimes, and you know, like how, because I'll still write about music or talk about bands that I like, and people say, you know, like, how do you do it? And it's like, well, at this point, I let other people do the work for me.
Yeah.
And that's really the only way to, you know, I have the record companies I like that will send me new releases, and, you know, if Matador puts something out, I'm going to like it, and if Exploding and Sound puts out something, I'm going to like it. But for the most part, I go to sites like All Things Go and find stuff that way, because really, there's too much.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we've tried to make, like I said, you know, we had very different writers and not one genre, but we've tried to make the site be filled with songs that we know somebody who would like two songs on it will like all of them.
Yep.
Not that everyone's music taste is so divergent, but the concept is that you could hit play on our site and not skip a song for an hour, and we want the festival to feel like that. And the cool thing is you then don't have to go somewhere else to read their bio or learn about the band, or, you know, we do interviews. They're super awesome. Cause I think, artists are more willing to like be very open when they're talking to like a 20-year-old blogger than when they're talking to like Spin.
Yeah.
Which is great. We've gotten some like very, very funny interviews, very insightful ones that other people wouldn't necessarily get.
All right. We've been going on long enough. I'm going to wrap it up. Go to the All Things Go Fall Classic. You can learn all about it at allthingsgofallclassic.com. October 6th through 8th, 2017, Union Market, D.C. Come on in for the weekend. D.C.'s lovely.
Yeah, Monday's a holiday, too, so you can
that's right.
Have a couple extra sodas.
There you go. Yeah, so tickets are available now. They have all sorts of wonderful deals and such. And...
That doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean
we have a 3-day and a 1-day. So many different deals. And VIP.
And VIP. There you go. Get a VIP ticket.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Rock in the Suburbs podcast. You can listen to the show every day on Apple Podcasts, download it on iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. You can visit the show website at suburbspod.com. Email the show at rock@suburbspod.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at suburbspod. And the best way is the Suburban Party Line, where you can call and leave a message at 612-440-1984. Again, it's 612-440-1984. They will play your message on the podcast. I don't have any to play. They didn't give me any. I'm pretty upset about that, to be honest. I could have riffed for probably
Could have had your mom call in and just be great. Nathan, you're doing such a good job. That's not what she sounds like at all.
Oh,
that's just
my
how I, that's
like.
Just how I make that's just how I make every old lady sound.
I'm on Twitter at @NateScott. Zach is on Twitter at @PonyBraxton.
Oh yeah. You can also just at All Things Go. Way, way better.
Yeah, at All Things Go. Probably do that better, because Zach's at Pony Braxton is just ramblings about DC sports scene, and it's very sad and
it's
depressing.
It's real dark.
And yeah, thanks for listening. I'm back a couple more days this week. We've got, I think, Alex Tebelev coming tomorrow talking about the DC DIY scene. A lot of DC love this week.
Oh, yeah.
I do live here. So.
And you're lazy.
And I'm very lazy. That's the other thing. And I don't have a long distance phone plan currently. But yeah, what should we listen to? Let's listen to a little Great Good Fine Okay on the way out, just because I like that band. So we're going to do that. We'll See you, everyone. You came in from the other side, took your time, made me feel alive. Why'd you let me go? You never tried.